Hi, everybody. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Steve, and today we're going to talk about a lifestyle article called Fighting Cancer with a Little Help. Before I go any further, I'd like to introduce the other teachers here in the studio. Let's welcome Campbell.
Hi, Steve. Hi, everyone.
Good to have you here, Campbell.
Well, thank you. It's always great to be on Advanced. I enjoy it very much.
It's not often that you and I are in the studio at the same time together.
It's true. We're usually passing each other as one is going in, as the other one's going out.
Yeah, we have different responsibilities here, and so it's kind of a treat for us to be together. Also, to my right, we have Christina. Welcome, Christina.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Yeah, we're excited to have you here and get your input on today's topic. Now, we're talking about cancer, and that can tend to be pretty serious, right? Kind of a depressing topic.
Yes.
It's not a topic that we talk about with joking or laughter, but hopefully today's lifestyle article will be a little more lighthearted, and we'll find out why in a moment. Now, the subject of today's lesson is a young man named Ian Supra, and he has been diagnosed with cancer. So he went to the doctor, and he heard those words that probably so many of us fear to hear, right?
Right. Yeah, a lot more people nowadays are dealing with cancer, and there's so many different kinds of cancer. Today we find out that Ian has a specific kind of cancer called esophageal cancer, and we'll talk more about that later. But what's more interesting is how he's actually dealing with this cancer. It's very interesting.
Yes, it is. And you're right, Campbell. It seems more and more people are getting diagnosed with cancer because there are so many different kinds, more than when I was growing up. Mm-hmm. It seemed like now there's every part of the body could be cancerous.
That's right.
Has the potential to be cancerous.
Right.
My parents, both of them, have gone through cancer treatments and thankfully have come out okay.
That's great.
My mother had, I think, something, the thyroid, those glands in
thyroid
the neck.
Cancer.
And my father was diagnosed with skin cancer.
Wow.
And actually, I heard skin cancer is quite common, especially in places like Australia.
Mm.
So you have to be very, very careful with how much sun you get these days.
Yeah, growing up, actually, when I was 10 years old, my brother's best friend had cancer. He actually had a brain tumor. Yeah, but he went on chemotherapy and is now alive and well. And he fought through it.
That's great news. You know, I think this day and age that we live in is very different from even 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Uh-huh.
A diagnosis that my mom received, having thyroid cancer, would have almost been like a death sentence 30 or 40 years ago.
Right.
But the technology that they have now, how science has advanced, maybe your brother's friend, too, is a recipient of this new technology the new science, that he's able to survive it. So there's a lot more cases, or there are a lot more cases, but there are also a lot more victorious stories. People are overcoming this cancer. Okay, so thank you for joining us, everybody. Let's open our magazines now to page 40 and start reading along on the left-hand side. Fighting Cancer with a Little Help.
Fighting Cancer with a Little Help. A black lab bounds into a star water polo player's battle against cancer. Ian Supra has endured all sorts of bad medicine while battling esophageal cancer. Insidious chemotherapy pumped it into his veins. Cocktails of other treatments administered through needles, catheters, and IVs. Holistic treatments, conventional treatments, clinical trials. But now good medicine has arrived. Addictive yet non-invasive, except for when she jumps on you to slobber you with wet kisses. Physical and mental therapy with an unconditional touch, complete with the occasional chew toy and a Superman leash and collar that makes her the perfect sidekick For the courageous kid, they call Supra-Man. Meet Penelope, an 8-month-old black Labrador retriever. She's been a blessing, said Supra. Once a star water polo player and swimmer at Dr. Phillips High School, until his life unraveled with the diagnosis in January 2014.
Okay, so the main character, of course, is the young man Ian Supra, but we're going to find out the supporting actor, or actress, maybe we should say, is a black lab. A black lab, there's a picture of this black lab on page 40, and over on page 41, too, there's a cute dog. She's black, her name is Penelope, and she's a lab. Christina, what's a lab?
When I think of a lab, I think of a big dog.
Yeah.
Not a puppy or not a small dog, but usually they're quite big and they're very friendly.
Mm-hmm. The word lab is short for Labrador Retriever. It's a specific type of dog. They're very friendly, very loyal. They're really great dogs.
They are. Yeah. There are many different breeds of dogs, and Labrador Retriever is one breed. And as you both said, their personality is very friendly, and they're very outgoing and very loyal dogs, right?
Right. They're a man's best friend, right?
Yeah. Well, this breed in particular?
Yeah, I think so. I've been around them, and they're just so friendly and loving and warm.
They are. They are. Not every breed is as friendly as this. There are some breeds that, I don't know, they're kind of distant and they're
more independent, right?
Yeah.
Or mean and scary.
Yeah. Like we think of pit bulls.
Yes.
You see them in the news a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to hurt you. And even they kill people sometimes, mm-hmm. unfortunately, because they're so aggressive.
Right.
I think it's because of the way they were trained. But I think a lot of the time people don't know that pit bulls have a really big heart and they are very friendly. So it's just the way they were brought up by their owners.
Okay. Mm. Okay. I'm sure that plays into it as well.
Yes. Christina is an animal lover.
I am.
She knows a lot about animals.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, how many of you out there own a dog or a cat? Well, then you'll know how important they are to this young man, Ian Supra. How important Penelope is, that is,
mm-hmm.
to Ian Supra. Well, yeah, Ian Supra, we start by finding out he is enduring all sorts of bad medicine. And he has what we call esophageal or esophageal cancer. Campbell, where is the esophagus?
Well, the esophagus is in your throat. That is where your food goes down. So his cancer is in the throat. So we might say he has throat cancer.
Okay. Normally we hear about this with people who smoke,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people who smoke have this kind of cancer because the smoke is traveling through the esophagus.
Right. The esophagus is the tube in your body that carries food from your mouth to your stomach.
Right. But you don't have to be a smoker to get this disease. As Ian Supra, of course, he is not a smoker. We'll find out that he's actually a very, very talented athlete. And so sometimes it's strange. People will get lung cancer without being smokers. You hear that more and more. So it's really strange how cancer just strikes with no reason at all sometimes.
Right. Maybe sometimes it's the environment they're in.
Right.
Right. Sometimes it's just unknown.
Yes.
Or genetics.
Okay, let's talk about some of these treatments that Ian is undergoing. We find the first one is described as insidious chemotherapy. Campbell, what is insidious?
Well, when something is insidious, it's unpleasant or dangerous, gradually and secretly causing harm. So we might talk about an insidious environment. It's a place that's kind of scary and dark and can be dangerous.
Right. I think of it as being evil sometimes, right?
I think of gossiping as being insidious.
Mm. Right.
Right. You're not causing physical pain, but emotional pain when you're talking behind someone's back. And yeah, it can be very emotional, especially if you're being talked about. And I've read cases where it could even lead to suicide, especially amongst teenagers.
Right. That's a great example because it shows that it's secretly happening. As Campbell said, it's not something that's overt or obvious, but it's creeping in and getting in. And that's what chemotherapy here is described as. Chemotherapy. We'll hear that word a lot. It's made up of two words. Chemo, and that's the prefix. We know that. We recognize that word from chemistry, right, as chemicals. Mm-hmm. So there's actually chemicals being pumped into Ian's veins. When people go through chemotherapy, they're going through chemical treatment.
Right. Basically, the chemicals are being pumped into his veins, and that is meant to kill the cancer cells. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Campbell, you mentioned it kills the bad cells, but what's the problem with chemotherapy? It also kills the
good cells as well. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times there are a lot of side effects to chemotherapy. People lose weight, they lose their hair. It's very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's very strong, right?
Yeah, sure. And there, as you said, there are a lot of side effects. And one thing that Ian has to go through with chemotherapy, and most people do as well, is feelings of nausea.
Mm-hmm.
N-A-U-S-E-A. And that's the feeling like you are very uncomfortable and you want to throw up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a terrible thing to have to live through day after day. You're never feeling quite right.
I can't imagine living through that. Just terrible.
Yeah. Okay, we move on and we find out that there are cocktails of other treatments administered through needles. Now let's stop there and talk about cocktails. Normally people think of alcoholic drinks.
Right, yeah, you know, you mix different alcoholic drinks together and it's a cocktail, you know. And but here we're not talking about alcoholic drinks, we're just talking about a combination of different things. So they get a combination of different treatments that they've been given to help them with the cancer.
Okay, and how are those things administered, Christina?
They're administered through needles, catheters, and IVs.
All right, so this young man, he's getting poked and prodded and things stuck into his body to try to kill this cancer. Also, we move on. What else is he undergoing, Campbell?
Well, he gets holistic treatments. And when we talk about something that's holistic, we refer to the care and treatment of the entire body and mind, not just the area with the problem. Usually when I think of holistic treatments, I think of something that's more natural, not necessarily with chemicals. Maybe it's through your diet or exercise, things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. I was thinking of, if you want to lose weight, let's say you want to just lose it in your thighs,
mm-hmm.
you're not just going to exercise your thighs or work your thighs. You're probably going to work your whole body, right?
Right. Okay. Yeah. So it means your whole lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You're changing your lifestyle. You're changing your diet. And just a side note, holistic, you would think that there should be a W in front of that word. We're talking about the whole person. And so I think at one time, maybe this word did have a W in front of it, but it doesn't anymore. So don't be deceived. It's, think of it as being whole, the whole body.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Conventional treatments, what are those?
Well, just what, you know, what you would expect for a cancer treatment. For example, chemotherapy is very conventional for cancer. Just conventional, these are things that are very common.
Okay.
Right. It's the usual or the accepted type of treatment.
Good, good. And finally, there are clinical trials. And when you see the word trial there, think of experiments.
Mm-hmm.
So there are doctors who are thinking, hey, I've got this new idea. I think it could help you, but we need to experiment first. Are you willing to do that?
Right.
And so Ian, he's reaching for anything, mm-hmm. it seems like,
mm-hmm.
because he wants to kill this cancer.
Right.
All right. But now we find out, good medicine has arrived. All the other things we mentioned are bad medicine. They're causing him sickness and discomfort. What's the good medicine described as?
Well, it's saying it's addictive yet non-invasive. It's interesting because usually when we think of something that's addictive, we don't think that it's a good thing. You know, when you're addicted to something, it's something you can't live without, you know. But here it's saying it's addictive, but it's a good thing. It's non-invasive, which means that he doesn't get poked and prodded and it's not uncomfortable and doesn't cut the skin or hurt him in any way.
Okay. So we are finding out that this medicine jumps and slobbers. people with wet kisses. Of course, we're talking about what, Christina?
Penelope the dog.
Yeah.
Who came to the rescue.
Yeah, Penelope. The physical and mental therapy that dogs and pets in general provide is really substantial, isn't it?
Right, yeah. And when I think of non-invasive, I think of, let's say, if you're in pain in your back, physical therapy and heat therapy would be a non-invasive procedure. And it could be an alternative to invasive surgery.
Right, right. You want non-invasive as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And so this dog, of course, is not going to invade your body. She might bring a chew toy. And she has a Superman leash and collar that makes her the perfect sidekick. I like this. For the courageous kid, they call Supra-Man. And that's a play on words, right?
That's right. His last name is Supra. And, you know, of course, Superman is the fictional character of that the alien that's very, very strong. And, you know, so they're playing off of his name Supra and the idea of Superman, that he's a very strong guy.
Hey, I never thought of that, that Superman is an alien. But you're right. He is from a different planet.
Yeah.
He's a superhero, just like Ian.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, so we find out that Penelope is a young 8-month-old black Labrador retriever. And we go to the top of the right-hand column, and we find out that Ian was once a star water polo player and swimmer. Water polo. Christina, do you have any thoughts about that?
I never played water polo before, or polo, but I... But I do enjoy swimming and other water sports, but
yeah, okay.
It's a very different sport for me.
Right. Yes. It's a very difficult sport.
Mm-hmm.
It requires a lot of stamina and endurance.
Have
Think
you played
of it
before?
Like, it's kind of like soccer, football, rugby, but in the water.
That's a great way to say it, yeah.
That sounds hard.
Yeah. Okay, so Ian was a water polo player and a swimmer, but then his life unraveled. It just came apart when he found out this news in January of 2014. So let's continue now with the next reading, and we'll start on line 5.
A strong determination. I'm very determined to obliterate this cancer, he said. It's been a challenging and painful journey. Supra, 19, has bounced from conventional therapy to holistic treatments in Spain to a clinical trial involving immunotherapy treatment in Tampa, Florida, and now back to chemo at Florida Hospital. He just completed his third round recently, part of a biweekly schedule. It involves outpatient treatment that lasts for 3 days. It's been debilitating, because chemo still has that poisonous kick to it, but not as much as before. Just last weekend, he jumped in the pool with one of his buddies and threw around a water polo ball. It was only in the community pool, in 4 feet of water, but it's the little victories that matter. Then he went paddleboarding on a weekend, and he gained a couple of pounds, now up to 133, from a low of 125 months back. Little victories, big ones, they all count.
All right, we're finding out that Ian Supra is battling cancer, and he has a strong determination to fight this cancer. I like the word he used on line 5, Christina.
The word he uses is obliterate, which means to destroy completely. So he wants to destroy this cancer completely, no matter what it takes.
Yeah, it's very strong language.
Yes.
He's not saying, I'm going to fight it, I'm going to battle it, I'm going to obliterate it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that means erase from memory, cause to be forgotten, right?
That's right.
He wants this out of his life.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a challenging and painful journey, right, Campbell?
That's right. So he's only 19, but he's bounced from conventional therapy to holistic treatments in Spain to a clinical trial involving immunotherapy treatment in Tampa, Florida, and now he's back to chemo at Florida Hospital.
So he's traveling a lot. He must be tired. He's feeling nauseous.
Well, he was just diagnosed in January 2014. So it means he's been through this less than 2 years.
Yeah.
So it's a lot he's been through within these 2 years.
In addition to that, I just found out that he underwent an operation where he lost 60% of his esophagus.
Wow.
So the doctors had to take that out. It was cancerous.
Mm-hmm.
So they removed 60% of his esophagus and 30% of his stomach.
Oh, wow.
Which is also cancerous. Gone.
So is he eating through a tube? Is that what it is?
I think how they do it is they will remove part of it and then they will bring the stomach up further somehow.
Okay.
I remember my grandmother had something similar happen, and they bring up the stomach to attach that to the top of the throat.
Okay. All right. Probably can't eat solid foods, though, right?
I'm sure his diet has changed. I don't know exactly what he can and cannot eat, but his diet for sure has changed. So this poor guy is going through these terrible things. He just completed his third round recently, part of a bi-weekly schedule. So bi there means two, so twice a week he has this therapy. And what does it involve?
Well, it involves outpatient treatment that lasts for 3 days. So outpatient just means that, you know, they don't stay in the hospital. They go into the hospital for the therapy and then they'll go home. The opposite of outpatient would be inpatient, where they actually have to stay inside the hospital.
Right. So,
and sleep overnight, right? Stay overnight.
Yeah, so outpatient is probably preferred because you get to sleep in your own bed and stay home, but you're still going through this therapy. And we mentioned earlier that chemo, made up of chemicals, has a lot of poisons in it, and that's bad for the body, but not as much poison as before.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good news, at least.
Well, chemo can make someone very physically and mentally weak.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, and it's interesting to note, like, when I first heard the bi-weekly, I was like, oh, okay, that's only twice a week. That's not too bad. But then you realize each treatment takes 3 days. So he's basically getting treated 6 days out of the week.
Right. That's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah, 1 day of rest, if that. Well, here's something fun. Just last weekend, the author writes, he jumped in the pool with one of his buddies and threw around a water polo ball. So he's getting back a little bit to his old self. And
Penelope is helping, right?
Yeah.
It's having a good effect.
I think so. And we find out that it's the community pool in 4 feet of water. I think the author mentions this because in water polo, it's pretty deep.
Yeah.
In fact, you're not allowed to touch the bottom of the pool with your feet.
Oh. So you're basically moving the whole time.
Imagine, that's a lot of...
you just stay afloat in the pool for like an hour.
That's hard. So you're just using your arms and your legs the whole time.
Yes.
Yeah. Something interesting. The water polo players have to move their feet. They call it an egg scrambler motion. Mm-hmm. So they're always moving their legs as if they were scrambling eggs, but that helps them to stay afloat.
Right. Okay. It's kind of like a duck.
Okay, yeah. They're always paddling away,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. All right, so Ian is going back. He's not back to his old self completely, but he's getting in the water, he's throwing the ball around, and that's a good sign. Then we find out he's paddleboarding as well. Have you ever gone paddleboarding?
I've never gone paddleboarding, but I'm guessing it's where you have a paddle and you just get on top of it and just paddle your way through the water.
Close. Campbell?
Well, it's kind of like surfing, except you're not standing up, right? You're just kind of...
You're lying down?
No. Yeah. No, I'm sorry. You're on a board, like a surfboard,
right?
But you're standing up, and you've got a paddle standing.
Oh.
So you're standing on a surfboard, and you're paddling around.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of new, so I forgive you guys if you don't know what it is.
We were completely wrong, but...
Not completely,
right?
Kind of are.
So this has only been around 2 or 3 years, I think, and it's become quite popular.
So you have to have good balance.
Sure,
right?
Sure. Yep.
Okay.
So you're standing on, like, a surfboard, you paddle around the bay or a lake or something, and that's what he was doing. And we also find out that Ian is gaining weight. So that's also always a good sign.
Yes.
When you gain weight.
Very good sign.
Yeah, because through chemotherapy, through cancer, a lot of people lose a lot of weight because, A, as Steve was saying, they feel nauseous, so they don't really feel like eating anything. But also, the chemotherapy takes a lot out of you.
That's right. And that's a little victory. Some might see it as a big victory. Whatever you call it, it counts, and it's a good thing.
That's right. You know, it's amazing that he's going through this as a 19-year-old. I mean, it's things that you would never think about. You know, I can't imagine what it would be like to have cancer. You hear about people getting cancer, but then to actually have to live through it. You know, a lot of young people at 19 aren't thinking about, you know, death and things like that. But for him, he's very aware of every day that he gets to live.
Right. Even the relatives, like the mom, their dad, or the sister or brother, it's very hard on them, and I can imagine as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like I said, my brother's best friend had it, and even though we weren't related, I know it did affect my brother very much, because that was his best friend. But for me, I just can't imagine having a best friend going through cancer. It's just very different when you're very close to them.
Yeah. Imagine 8 years old, mm-hmm. 19 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I remember at that age, I mean, kids that age feel like they're going to live forever, right?
Exactly.
Right.
You
yeah.
can, you just do whatever you want and you're indestructible.
Right.
But not Ian. I mean, he is face to face with this every day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, not an easy thing for him, of course, or his family and friends, but we're going to find out that he has a lot of support in his family or with his family, his friends, his teammates. And not only does he receive support, but we're going to find out that he also gives a lot of support to others who have similar circumstances or who are in similar circumstances. So come back tomorrow, friends, and please join us for day two of Fighting Cancer with a Little Help. Until then, for all of us here at Advanced, have a great day.
Bye.
Goodbye.